Welcome to the Four Wards Podcast. Hey, what's up? It's Eric Brah, voice of Draven,
Jax,
and Vel'Koz. And you're listening to the Four Wards Podcast, here to help you move forward in League.
Hello, and welcome to episode 339 of the Four Wards Podcast. I'm your host, as usual, I'm Jax Oman, and I've got with me three other wards to help you move forward in League of Legends. I've got Crush You.
I have Red Velvet Cake, and I am happy.
Nice. We've also got Free Shooter.
Hello, yes, I am here.
And joining us for the first time, we'll let him do a proper introduction in a moment, but we've got Witch at Black Mass.
How's it going?
Welcome to the show, Witch.
Thank you so much.
So guys, we are the Four Wards Podcast. We are part of the Trinity Force Network. If you head on over to trinityforcenetwork.com, you'll find links to all of our past episodes and links to the other shows on the network, such as the Trinity Force Podcast proper, such as the League Rundown that I'm also on. You'll also find the link to our Discord. Come join the Discord, come play games with us, have fun, it's a great time. Now if you want to support the network, head on over to patreon.com/tforcenetwork. $5 will get you first dibs on any planned tournaments. You get an email ahead of everyone else with information on how to sign up, such as the upcoming TFN Rotating Rules Ruckus. This tournament is a Summoner's Rift tournament with draft-style pick and ban, but with different rules for each match of the tournament, such as only range supports. This is an example we won't actually use because it restricts the champion pool too much for it to be fun. Other than whatever the specific match's restrictions are, there will be no other restrictions on what you can do. Whichever team comes in first will face off against the T-Force crew. Whoever wins will be the victor of the tournament and will receive some RP as a reward for their successes on the Rift. This tournament will take place at 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I should say, on Saturday, May 21st, and teams will be posted roughly 1 week before the tournament. Good luck, and we look forward to seeing you on the Rift. We are also on Twitter, at Four Wards Podcast, and a bunch of us stream on Twitch. I can be found at twitch.tv/JaxOman, Crush is at twitch.tv/CrushU, Bomo streams at twitch.tv/BomoSapien, the first O is a zero, Free Shooter streams at twitch.tv/FreeEShooter, yes, that's right, there's three E's in free there. ArcRyu streams at twitch.tv/ArcRyu, or intends to at least. And Witch, you stream at twitch.tv/1_Witch_1, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Beautiful. All right, and listeners, last but certainly not least, please keep sending your questions to fourwards@trinityforcenetwork.com. That is our email address. We always need more listener questions. fourwards@trinityforcenetwork.com. It's all spelled out. All right, now that we're through the show's introduction, it's time for Witch's proper introduction. So, Witch, you are the newest member of the Four Wards crew. You answered our casting call. You're the one we picked. Let's get to know you a bit. Tell the listeners, who are you? What makes you tick? Whatever you want to talk about.
So, yeah, either I go by Witch and or Matt. And, yeah, I've been playing League since season 4, I think. Something like that. I've peaked at platinum, and right now I'm in gold. And yeah, I've been playing for a long time.
Right on. Anything listeners should know about you? Favorite food or
whatever
other details you want to share?
Definitely pizza. And then I'm an avid Zelda fan. I definitely love Zelda. So
I do play it on stream as well.
Now. I have to ask the controversial, important question. Pineapples on pizza, yay or nay?
I am not opposed to it, but I'm not ordering it. So.
Okay, we can still be friends then. I'll leave it ambiguous as to which side of that I fall under. All right.
Witch, I have a question.
Shoot.
What role do you main?
Jungle, and top is my secondary.
It's a lie, you main fiddlesticks.
There you go. I do main fiddlesticks, yes. Yeah, fiddlesticks Olaf are champions.
This man will play fiddlesticks in all five roles if we let him.
It's true.
Yeah, so, welcome to the show, Witch. We're glad to have you. And it's time to break you in because this is a patch week. Guys, patch 12.8 has hit this week. So as we usually do, we're going to highlight some of the changes that we think are the most interesting or impactful in this patch. And Free Shooter, I'm going to kick it off with you because you have two small ones, so you can do one of them to kick us off and I'll do the other one later.
Sure, so the one I'll kick off with is, of course, the Ezreal change, being the one of the resident Ezreal mains of the podcast.
I was going to say, we have three Ezreal players on the show right now.
You're not wrong.
Apparently, he's one of my higher win rates right now, which is surprising to me.
Mine too, despite being like higher play rate as well. I actually am winning on him a lot, but apparently not everyone is winning on him a lot because Riot decided to give him a minor buff. It is his ultimate is going from 120 second cooldown at all ranks to 120, 105, 90 at ranks 1, 2, 3. So it's a shorter cooldown later in the game, a full 30 seconds at max rank, which is pretty significant both with how much ability his Ezreal builds and with getting the flat cooldown refund from hitting Qs. So late in the game, his ultimate is going to be up a lot more often.
I mean, it already was like his ultimate is up every 30 seconds or so in the late game between those two effects. Mm-hmm. With this, I would not be surprised if it starts feeling like Luxalt, where you get one at the start of the fight and one to finish a fight.
I mean, even now, sometimes if I'm full build and level 16, I feel like I can ult before a fight starts, like, you know, as I'm walking out of base or something, and then by the end of the team fight, it's back up if I'm like walking to a Baron fight or something like that. So now, yeah, it is going to be potentially multiple ults per fight. And this also is a small buff to AP Ezreal as well, because AP Ezreal does more damage with the ultimate with the scalings there. So I know AP Ezreal mains are going to be happy. I personally don't play it that much, but it is a niche way to play him.
I'm happy with it.
And hear me out. You'll have the people that shoot at the Ezreal ults for just to catch the wave quickly. You'll have the ult again for the team fight as well, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can just scout objectives more in the late game with it, which is underrated use of it.
Pretend it's a hawk shot. It's fine.
I mean, that's what Danny does with the Jinx rockets.
Yep.
I've seen it, yeah.
Sorry, I'm on the league rundown. I gotta bring in pro play mentions occasionally. It's a frequent use of all of these types of low cooldown global ultimates. Is just, hey, I think they might be on Dragon. Let's check.
Yep.
Hey, I think they might be on Baron. Let's check. Oh, they weren't? Oh, well, it's a short cooldown. All right. Speaking of AD carry changes, Crush, why is Riot doing this to me?
I assume you mean the jungle changes. Jhin is getting some buffs. Apparently he is not hitting where he's supposed to be. The change that matters, in my opinion, is the W, his deadly flourish, the root. The root duration, it's gaining an extra quarter second at all ranks, which, that's not nothing.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's not nothing. Especially because, like, this is... When you talk about ADCs with crowd control potential, Jhin is one of them. And increasing the duration on his ability is significant. But he also got other changes. His W got a second change to it. It no longer does reduce damage to monsters. It was reduced by 25% in the past.
I didn't even know it had reduced damage to monsters.
Same, honestly. Which is kind of impressive with the number of times I've seen it steal, like, a Baron or a Dragon. Because it's not zero.
It is. And the other change he got was to his E, Captive Audience, the flower he puts down. Once again, there's two changes. The most impactful one is the cooldown went from 28 scaling to 16, down to 24 scaling to 14. So between 4 and 2 seconds off of the cooldown, depending on rank. It's up more often. You can put more flowers out. It's fine. Oh, also the second change, it's no longer, the damage on it is no longer reduced against monsters. It was reduced by 35%. Now it's not.
I like how in the notes for this where they explain their thought process, they say they want to get Jingle to a 44.44% win rate.
For the love of God, if I see Jungle Jin in my ranked games, I might cry.
Yeah, please don't. Oh, it's fucking bad.
It is very bad. It is
no,
okay. You know how bad Jin Jungle is? A pro player played Jin and died to a red buff, with like executed to a red buff in a pro game.
No, see, the strat is with these changes now, you go AP Jin Jungle, so that way your E can just kill all the camps, because the E has a ridiculous AP ratio on it.
It does have a ridiculous AP ratio. If you want to troll a game, normals game, play AP Jin mid. It does ridiculous amounts of damage for no damn reason.
That sounds very entertaining. I'm mostly upset about the extra root duration, to be honest. Like, it already feels like an eternity.
No, it's not an eternity. That's Morgana's job. Jesus.
I mean, it's not much shorter than Morgana's root at this point.
It's fair, actually.
All right. Witch, you got a positive change to tell us about. What are they doing to your boy Fiddlesticks?
So they are giving him a slight buff. It went from healing percentage from champions, not against minions, but later ranks of it gets up to 70% from 50, which is actually pretty big for the late game. I mean, it makes not that much difference for the early to mid. But Fiddlesticks late game is pretty much a terror as it is. I feel like he's very underrated. And yeah, just the W will make him be able to sustain, actually live through the all-in engage that he already has, that's already strong. So definitely a quality of life.
And for context, so they buffed the healing from 50 to 70%, which is a 40% increase in the total healing per target.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's gigantic. And Fiddlesticks heals per champion hit for pre-mitigation damage. So it doesn't matter if they're the tankiest of tanks or a squishy. Fiddlesticks heals the same amount.
And then, I mean, you're guaranteed pretty much late game to hit, like, at least 1, 2, or 3 man ulti, unless if you're doing something horrendously wrong.
I'm just scared of the, like, Fiddlesticks late game with, like, a Spirit Visage just drain tanking 5 people and being unkillable.
I wonder if, like, that would actually be, like, viable. Like, the when was it? Like, when they had a mid? Battle. Yeah. I didn't even think of that, to be honest.
I just, like, because they're increasing the base healing. We saw this. I was playing with the Rundown community yesterday, and we had a Tom Kench who built Spirit Visage. When they buffed the healing values on Tom Kench's gray health a little while ago, increasing healing that scales on a percentage of something gets really, really wacky when it gets big enough. So that's where my brain is like, you could literally have Fiddlesticks healing for his entire health bar every second if he's draining enough people.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Yeah, it's going to be nutty later in the game for sure.
Just put enough wards out and so you can see where he is and you won't have to worry about it. There's never enough wards to see where Fiddlesticks is.
And hope that they don't have a Nocturne on the enemy team.
Jesus.
And the good thing about the buff too is that you already max W as is, or you should be. So...
yeah,
it's not like out of the way. Like I forget a while ago, but they buffed Zac's W, but you don't max Zac's W until last. So it's like a little minor buff, but this is a really big buff. So yeah.
All right, Free Shooter, I'm coming back to you because my change is gigantic, so I'm saving it for last.
That's fair. So my other change is pretty small and mostly, I feel like, affects higher levels of play and pro play, but was still a niche useful strategy. There was a strategy you could do where if you already have a Zonya's, you could buy another stopwatch. So that way you could get effectively 5 seconds of invulnerability by Zonya-sing then stopwatching.
Assuming you did not break your stopwatch while you were working on the Zonya's.
Correct. Now, if you have a Guardian Angels or a Zonya's Hourglass in your inventory, you will be unable to purchase a stopwatch. And you already couldn't purchase a stopwatch if you already had one. So now, effectively, this strategy is dead. You cannot double Zonya's anymore.
It's kind of like when they just were like, you know what? Double tier Ezreal shouldn't be a thing. This is the same kind of thing. Double stopwatch items is no longer a thing.
Change I'm still sad they made.
I know. Me too.
So much fun.
All right.
You forgot double tier Kassadin as well, by the way. Because that was also pretty...
True. It was more niche.
It was.
Because at the time, Kassadin did not get man immune damage procs on his E or his ultimate, because it was only single target spells that got it at the time. It would have been more broken on the current version of man immune.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't think this change affects most of our listeners, because it was very niche to spend 650 gold on... a 2.5 second stasis, especially at lower level play. But
the only time I've ever personally seen it was our top laner in Clash doing it on Lissandra, where he Zonya's, Lissandra's ulted, then stopwatched and stalled out for damn near 10 seconds.
Okay. Please tell me he then had a Bard ult him.
No, I wish. Our support doesn't play Bard, but we should have before this change went through.
I've done that on Lissandra specifically as well. Just had a Zonya's and a stopwatch and Lissandra ult and been invulnerable for 8 seconds.
It's absolutely stupid. Hilarious when you do it, but no
it's
more.
It's very niche.
The main thing I think is the couple of champions that can truly build hybrids, such as Kai'Sa and Ezreal, no longer can go GA and Zonya's. I don't think they were doing that very often to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, generally you would go one or the other on those champs, because getting both is like almost too defensively itemizing.
Exactly. Maybe you could put Kog'Maw in that boat too, because I know he tends to itemize more defensively and still do shitloads of damage. So yeah, no more double stopwatch, no more stasis forever. All right. I've been putting it off long enough. Listeners... Swain got a mid-scope update, which basically, as far as I can tell, means they reworked him without having to redo his art assets. Everything changed, but still kind of is the same. So I'm just going to quickly go through it. Swain heals more at later levels when he steals souls, and gains more maximum health when he steals souls. Swain cannot pull off of other people's CC anymore. Matter of fact, he can't even pull off of his own Everfrost if he builds one. His Q does slightly less damage if you're hitting a bunch of bolts, about the same or better damage if you're just hitting with a single bolt of it. His W, now you can ping it to see who's in range that you can see, which is neat. Twisted Fate and Nocturne Ultimates have this feature as well. It's occasionally useful for communicating to your teammates. That's about it. Here's the actual big changes. Swain's E, the claw that he throws out and it comes back. Now, after you cast it, you can recast it to pull all champions that you rooted. You will rip a soul fragment from each of them. So those crazy moments where you see a Swain hit a 3-man root or whatever... Yeah, he's healing for a third of his life now in the late game. When he does that, it's kind of bonkers. And he's pulling all of them, whereas previously he could only pull one person and you had to pick who to pull. That may or may not be a buff, depending on who it is that you root. We'll see on that one. It grants vision of rooted targets, so if you throw a claw into a bush and hit someone, you get vision on them. It's neat. I'm not complaining about that.
It's pretty big for support Swain.
Exactly. And I'm going to go over his ult in a moment, but his E also gets 20% reduced cooldown during his ultimate. So you can be a little bit spammier with the claws while you're in Demon Bird form. His ultimate has the biggest changes. Swain no longer gets bonus health during his ultimate. He actually does less draining damage during his ultimate. He does heal for more during his ultimate, though. So it's shifting the power a little bit from the damage over time and a little bit more into the staying alive portion for the ultimate. After 2 seconds, you can recast your ultimate for the big explosion. This does not end the drain. The drain, now you gain 50 demonic power when you activate your ultimate. It decreases at 10 demonic power per second. After 5 seconds, it decreases at 15 per second instead. Every second that you are draining an enemy champion, you gain 20 power. So that means as long as the fight is going and you have someone in range of your Swain ult, it will not expire. Period. The drain rate never exceeds the gain rate if you are actively draining someone. That's why recasting it no longer removes the ultimate, because you can just keep going for the whole fight. And that's huge, especially since it's been shifted more towards healing focused. Like, Swain is back to... The original version of Swain was like a teamfight drain tank.
Yeah.
The original version of Swain had an ult that was kind of like a Nivea's ult, where the mana cost just kept going up over time till eventually you couldn't sustain it. And you just turned it on and just drained everyone around you and healed constantly until you ran out of mana or the fight ended.
Yeah, he was one of the big damage over time mages. I've loved old Swain.
Yep. So this puts him, I think, back into the archetype and theme of that a bit better, where, no, he's strong until the fight's over.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since the E is more spammable during the ult.
Mm-hmm.
And less of the current Swain, where he's just very bursty. They also, in general, reduced his mana costs on his both Q and W by 20 per cast. Which I'm hoping is enough to mean that with a mana flow band and a mana mythic, maybe that's enough mana and you don't have to build a tier item on Swain anymore. I hope so. Because he doesn't use them well.
I'm almost wondering if you go tankier on Swain now and just kind of like we were talking about with Fiddle before, just kind of be that like middle of the fight drain tank, like especially on like support Swain, I'm thinking of like where you're not getting as much income to get the big damage items, of you go a tankier route and just are a wall that's constantly throwing out these poles while draining around you.
I mean, support, it's hard to do this on a support budget, but I think like one of their goals, one of their stated goals of this rework is to bring Swain back to solo lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for solo lanes, you're going to see a lot of still probably Everfrost because it's cheaper, but maybe Liandry's for Swain.
Yeah.
And a lot of Rylai's second and Demonic Embrace third. And then straight tank for the last two items.
Hmm.
Things like Branduin's or Spirit Visage. Spirit Visage is going to be real good on him. That kind of stuff. That's where I see this shifting Swain to for the solo lanes or for farming bot lane, because that's also a role he can perform in just fine.
Yep.
I don't think support's going to be able to do that because they just are working on a support budget. I mean, some games you'll just snowball too hard and you can anyway, but you're winning those games regardless because you're just shitting on people.
I was just thinking about it too for the Swain buff on his E or change, rather. Isn't it like just a better Mordekaiser E now? Like, honestly.
Yes and no. The big difference is Mordekaiser E will pull everyone in the range of the claw, and Swain E stops when it hits someone on the way back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the big difference to me. Otherwise, yes, it's very similar, except this also heals Swain a shitload.
And you can choose to pull people. You can also just snare them and just like leave them there too, so.
Yeah. And if you
can, but with how much healing that is, I doubt you should ever choose that.
True.
It's more choosing of when to pull people.
Yeah.
In the second of root.
Mordekaiser, if you drop the pull at his feet, then you could push people away from you, and that's not a thing you could do, Swain.
Yeah. There's some that's nuance niche. For Mordekaiser's that doesn't exist here.
I would honestly be
you
curious.
Say that's niche. Every Mordekaiser is good at doing that because it is core to being good at Mordekaiser.
I'd be curious how,
but it means that
Winter
you're losing a fight
swing.
On Mordekaiser, and like how often does that happen?
Yeah. So Fimbulwinter, I think, still is just bad on this swing because you have to land an E to actually proc the shield.
That's true.
I was trying to think about that, and I'm pretty sure you just don't get Ruse often enough.
Is it Fimbulwinter like nerfed for range as well? Pretty sure.
Well, that is the nerf. Yeah. So for melee, you can trigger it off of slows, but for ranged, it has to be a hard CC to trigger it.
Yeah, my only thought was that if you're like in the middle of them ulting and your E is on a reduced cooldown anyway, then there's more opportunity to get it off.
Yeah, true.
Potentially. But I think you're better off just building a Spirit Visage and Thornmail or something like it.
Yeah.
Instead. If you desperately need mana, Frozen Heart isn't bad.
Sure.
But I think with these changes, you won't need mana that bad. Probably still are bound to mana flow band, but...
I'm just curious if people are actually going to pick him up more. I feel like we might see him like here and there, but I don't know too many people that actually actively play Swain like even now. Maybe people
He's
will be interested.
He's just not a very popular champion. People don't want to play the weird old man. People want to play the sexy young characters or the straight up monsters. It's the same problem Malawi has. She's not an archetype body type-wise that people are, like, super gung-ho for, except for the subset of people who are like, fuck yes, I want to be that.
I mean, there's also like, the tentacle the thing, mittens, you know? But...
What are you talking about? That's pure appeal.
Yeah, true. True.
They're all playing all right. Vocals already.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's already, yeah, that spot's already taken.
True. I have read that doujinshi.
Nope.
All right.
Oh, God.
All right. Crush, now that I've made you uncomfortable, tell us about this trinket tip.
So, I was watching a video about this, and the full video was more in-depth about what you can see, because they were showing what you could do and what you can't do with it. But the trinket tip is very simple. One thing that you can do in League of Legends is that you can right-click once and then hold the button down, and your champion will follow your mouse cursor around. While you can do that, try to get in the habit of not doing that, and instead right-click rapidly where you want to be moving towards. The simple reason why is that there is a polling delay on this. If you hold down the button, it polls it every, 100 milliseconds, 500 milliseconds, something.
I don't even think it's that frequent. It feels like it's like maybe once or twice a second.
And whereas if you click, it'll give you movement. But when I say polling delay, I mean that every interval, it'll send another move command depending on where your mouse cursor is while you're holding it down. Instead, if you right click, it'll send a movement command every time you click. And that rate is faster than the holding the mouse button down. The reason this matters is because you will get more responsiveness out of this, and you will be able to dodge skill shots better. Like, that is the main thrust of the point the video is going after with this, is that because you can change your direction faster, you can dodge skill shots more easily. So if you didn't know, and you've been just holding down the right mouse button to move, maybe look into clicking rapidly in order to dodge skill shots a little better.
Incidentally, this is the reason I don't have troubles transitioning in between Path of Exile and League of Legends. Path of Exile, just like any other action RPG like Diablo, holding down the button is the way you move in those games.
Yeah.
So it's fundamentally different, so I don't have that disconnect, even though they're both top-down action games. A lot of people struggle jumping between Diablo-likes and League of Legends. That's why I don't, because I do not ever use the hold down function because it's too laggy.
Yeah, right. There's a couple of other issues with it, but that's the main one, is that you can dodge skill shots more easily. So.
Yep. All right. Guys, I'm going to throw it over to a word from our sponsor, and we will be right back and answer some of your questions like we didn't do last week. Thank you to our sponsor, Moxie and Zen. Head on over to moxieandzen.com/T-Force and use the code T-Force for 20% off your order of breathable, comfy underwear.
Support for the Four Wards is brought to you by Manscaped. We know games in solo queue can get hairy. That's why Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Lawnmower 4.0 will help you thin the creeps while keeping your tower and nexus intact. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TFORCE at manscaped.com. Save your pink ward just by trimming the bush instead with Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TFORCE at manscaped.com.
And we're back. All right. Our first question tonight. It's actually a series of questions, I believe, and it comes from Z Paladin, who writes, "Hey Wards, I got one main question and then some more miscellaneous questions for you to fill in whenever or wherever. My main question has to do with my champion pool for the jungle. Currently, I am mostly playing Warwick, which is going pretty well. My backup slash former main slash Warwick counter is Rammus, which works pretty well actually considering they play somewhat the same. Fun fact, both their ults scale off movement speed, and you get flamed when you whiff it. Jokes aside, I really haven't found a solid backup in case neither of them are options. I've played a fair few junglers, but none that consistently come back to, mainly out of wanting to try different things. This includes champs like Vi, Sejuani, J4, Voli, and the infrequent ones like Skarner and Nautilus. Of those champs, I've gelled the most with Vi, Sejuani, and J4, as they all have great diving abilities and overall mobility. I just am not sure if there's too much overlap with the two main picks. My question is, how should I round out this slot? I want to pick a champ that I know inside and out, like Warwick and Rammus, but I am not sure if it should be an AP jungler, a carry jungler, or one of the ones mentioned earlier. Should I just play what I am good at, tanks and bruisers, and just shake up itemization on a game-by-game basis? Would reworked Olaf round out the trio with Warwick and Rammus? Just for clarity's sake, yes, I am looking to climb in ranked." All right, so thoughts on how to round out a jungle champion pool. I'll go ahead and kick it off. I think jungle is the role where it is the most okay to just play one archetype and fuck everything else. As long as that archetype is bruisers and tanks. No one is ever going to complain at having you play something beefy from the jungle. Period.
True.
Yep.
Your lanes are all going to want to play squishy carries, so if you're the one bringing the beef, they're going to be happy. If they're bringing the beef too, great. You got a beef comp. That's also not a bad thing. I personally think Volibear is incredibly strong, as I've mentioned multiple times on the show, and also stylistically similar to Warwick and Rammus of he go in, he fight.
Exactly. I also feel like Warwick and Rammus also have like incredibly easy clears. Like and Volibear kind of fits that niche too, where like you E, you W the creeps and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So it's very easily as a jungler, so you can focus on those ganks, you know?
Absolutely. The most complicated part of Volibear clears is optimizing which Krugs you hit when with which abilities to make sure you kill them all as fast as possible, and killing Blue and Gromp together to speed up your clear.
Going into a sub-question that you said as well, I don't think you should necessarily prioritize like an AP jungler or a carry jungler. As I kind of stated too, easy junglers are always like the best way to learn at first. Mm-hmm. AP junglers, like for example, like Lilia, not a very good champion to learn on because her clear, like if you don't know how to do it, it's very rough.
Matter of fact, I would say there does not exist an AP jungler that is easy to just pick up and learn. They all require spending time to learn that specific champion.
Fiddle!
I slightly disagree. Diana is... Her clear is honestly pretty easy. It's just usability hit three times.
Gragas is the AP jungler that has a bog standard clear. Okay, that's clear as the
fair.
Same.
I do forget about him being.
Yeah. Everybody forgets about Lagragas lately. He's not terribly good. That's why everybody forgets about him. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I absolutely did forget him though. So I'll give you that credit. I'm gonna agree with Crush though. Diana seems easy, but there's a lot you can fuck up to, A, reduce your clear speed, sure, or B, she's hard as shit to gank with pre-6.
That is very true. She is a farm to 6 jungler.
And if you get behind as Diana, you are useless. You might as well be a super minion at that point. So,
yeah.
Whereas Volibear, Warwick, and Rammus, even if you're getting shit on, you still can bring CC to your team and be useful from behind.
This is one of the reasons why Gragas is like my bread and butter AP jungler. It's like, I really need AP? Fine, Gragas, whatever. Because he'll bring plenty of CC.
Or I guess Amumu could be put in that group as well.
True, yeah.
Amumu's a good one there.
Yep.
Amumu's easy and straightforward, and even from way, way behind, brings 2 stuns and an ultimate root pacify, I think is what his ultimate technically is.
No, they changed it to an actual stun now, I think. I remember they had it as a root and silence and disarm for the longest time for some reason.
yeah.
I don't understand that one.
But I think
it's
they actually
so
changed
weird.
It to stun.
Yeah, the weirdest thing for me in Amumu is when should my W be on? Do I toggle it on and off when clearing? I don't know. I'm out of mana.
That's why you build a Fimbulwinter.
Just take blue buff. It's fine.
True. All right. So hopefully that answers the jungle pool questions. We're going to continue with your smaller niche questions, which are, outside of the obvious junglers like Jax and Lee Sin, are there any other others that benefit from not going sweeper or are more effective early by keeping those stealth wards as their trinket?
I got one specifically for you, and it's because I keep forgetting to do this. Nocturne really likes the scrying, the blue trinket. He likes that one better than any other, and it's because you can get vision, and hey, ult you!
One of the pet peeves as a Nocturne player is when you go to ult someone and a minion dies and you lose vision of the person you were going to ult as the vision goes dark for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like, God damn it, I was a quarter second away from murdering this dude and now he gets to walk away scot-free because a minion died.
Yep. Turns out the blue trinket is about the same range as Nocturne ult.
Yep.
Also, if you're like severely behind, let's say like super early, like you got invaded or something like that, honestly switching to the ward to make sure that you don't die from like them invading you and your team not answering or something like that is honestly also a viable option too.
Absolutely. And also, just because, audience, I'm not flaming you here, but this podcast is targeted towards newer or more inexperienced players. Very frequently your enemy just isn't freaking warding, at which point you might as well switch back to the warding trinket because you're getting it more out of placing down vision than you are out of clearing nothing.
That's why I like the umbral.
Like, I hate
so
that
much.
Answer because it is the enemy playing wrong and it's relying on that, but that's the reality for a lot of games.
That's why I like umbral glaive so much.
Yeah, because you just buy it and then if they've warded, it goes off and you know, and you don't have to actively think about it.
The one thing I will say to Jax's point of enemy playing wrong, also make sure that your support isn't playing wrong and they have a sweeper if you're going to not have one. There should bare minimum be on at least one sweeper on your team. So even if the enemy's not warding that much, if your support doesn't have a sweeper, you should have one.
Or an umbral glaive.
Yes.
And I missed a really obvious jungler who doesn't take sweeper. Fiddlesticks.
Yeah, Fiddlesticks.
Well,
technically
but he
not
sweeper. Doesn't and can't.
Yes.
That's like saying Cassiopeia doesn't build boots. It's like, well, yeah, because she's literally not allowed to. All right. Next question is, what do you all think of the new changes to Olaf and Swain with regards to situationally infinite ultimates? Will this be wildly broken like people think, or is the classic overreaction to many champion reworks? I'm not too familiar with Swain's kit, but as for Olaf, I think it'll be underwhelming at low elo with all the mobility in the game and insane at higher elo pro play where teams can draft around champions better. So we just kind of went over the Swain one. So let's focus on Olaf. I'm not aware of this because this isn't slated for 12.8. I think this is slated for 12.9.
I think so, yes.
Yeah,
that's why I was confused. I was like, "Wild off change? What?"
It's not like
yeah. I know. I know a lot of the buffs for it, but basically, is Q gets a now armor penetration similar to Black Cleaver. It's like 35% at max rank. So it helps with the late game because Olaf falls off a cliff like later on.
So. Question: is that armor shred like Black Cleaver, where he Qs someone and his whole team does more damage? Or is this like personal penetration like Mordekaiser and Darius get? Or is it just that ability has that much penetration?
I think it's penetration. It's similar to Black Cleaver. I think it's like hindering like the enemy. So it's like actually good for like AD comps and stuff like that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then I do believe that his W is now going to be a shield rather than a heal.
Okay.
That increases whenever your health is lower. And also the attack speed is still there. E didn't get changed at all. And then your ultimate, you have to, it's no longer like a 6-second duration. It is, I think, a 3-second duration that can extend indefinitely if you continue to fight. And then your passive healing, which was on your W, is now on your passive in general.
That sounds absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that similar to what he says, it's going to be less impactful in lower elos, really good in higher elos, in my opinion. Because I feel like even though the ultimate is like sick, like the reduction of it is 3 seconds instead of 6 seconds, people aren't going to manage it well, like in lower, so they're just going to waste the ulti and not use it properly. So, but I think that it's going to be pretty insane just simply for the armor shred, for sure.
Okay, so I pulled this up, and you're underselling how nuts this sounds. He's just getting the lifesteal passively at all points.
Yeah.
And it's going to ramp up to ridiculous amounts if he's low health.
Exactly, yeah. He did get his healing income, like his incoming healing, like that got removed. So, like, for example, Soraka isn't going to insanely heal him or something like that. But
he's no longer going to be tied with Aatrox for the most broken champion for Yuumi to ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he does have the shield, which now he isn't like directly countered by Grievous Wounds, right? Like, he now has like another utility option where they might have to consider building some sort of shield like burst to negate some of his stuff. So,
and they're making his W an auto reset.
Oh
my God, I'm going to have to play Olaf now.
I doubt all of this makes it to live. That's a lot.
Feels like a lot, but also the Swain changes feel like a lot. So, I mean, it's a mid-scope rework. We'll see where the numbers land, yeah. But
When I've heard about this, I am withholding judgment until we see it on live, until I see it in a patch note, because the way it sounds right now, it sounds pretty good. Like, real strong.
I will say to the I think intent of the question, I don't think the infinite Olaf ult is going to be the stronger, like scary part of this kit. It's the other stuff that has me concerned.
I agree. So, because the thing about Olaf is that his ultimate passively gives him resistances, and then when he activates it, it takes the resistances away.
They're taking that away too.
Oh God.
Like, they lowered the amount of armor and magic resist he passively gets. Okay. It's still there, but it's not like I think it's like 60 or something like that later. I'm not quite sure about the numbers, but it's like lowered significantly now.
Yeah, so but right now, before the infinite change, right now the passive gives 20, 30, or 40 armor and magic resistance depending on rank, and then when he pops his ultimate, it takes that away. Olaf doesn't build tanky, Olaf doesn't build armor and magic resist, so that's basically most of the resistances he has. So the trick when Olaf ults is stop trying to CC him, just hit him and murder him.
It's kind of like Jax, where he tends to build health but not so much resists, largely for the same reason.
Yeah. Same as Garen, too. where and that's why we're not worried about the Infinite Olaf ult, because he doesn't, I mean, he's gonna still die. You just have to not CC him and actually kill him instead, which is what he wants, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. That's why I'm more worried about the rest of the kit. The Infinite Ultimate is whatever.
Yeah.
All right. The shield's really nice too, so yeah.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, how do I get into TFT? Do you have any YouTubers or resources that you look to for those of you who play that mode? I've tried it once and it seems fun if you know what you're doing. Also, it's great as a palate cleanser between ranked losses.
So
as someone who does not play TFT, I'm just going to defer to you guys. Can you guys answer this question for Z Paladin?
So I play a bunch of TFT, and I play it with my wife, actually, because they added the double up mode, which is basically you're on a team with your partner and you play together, and it's very good.
I haven't tried that yet.
It's really good, and it's really good, like surprisingly good, to the point of Riot released it expecting that they would have to, it would be like a rotating game mode except for TFT, not for Summoner's Rift. They would put it up and then have to take it down a month later and then tinker with it and get it working better and then release it. It was so overwhelmingly popular that they just left it up. They're still going to work on it and refine it and get it better, but they're working on it. And that mode, Double Up, if you can find someone to play with you and teach you it that way, is the best way of doing it. Beyond that, the only resource I personally use is Mobalytics. Just they have a list of team comps that work. Do note, they have a list of team comps that work, and that means this is the end state of your team comp. This is it talks a little bit about how to get from the beginning of the game through the middle of the game to the end of the game, where this team comp looks like. But part of getting good at TFT is being able to be flexible and switch between strategies, and I'm still not good at doing that, so I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I would say one of the best ways to, like, because for me the biggest thing is like learning which champions are good with which items and trying to break my brain of, this is an 80 carry, they want 80 carry items. No, the items in TFT are almost no, like, very little correlation to the items that are in League of Legends proper. And like, just because a champion is an AD carry, if their ult does magic damage or you want them to be using their ability more often, sometimes they want AP or mana items. So really the biggest thing is, like, I use Mobalytics as well, but I would say pick like a comp that isn't like one of the S tier comps on there, like an A tier one that not everyone's going to be going for, and just try and do that every game in normals. And while you're doing that, read every item in champion and just like try and get a feel for like, what does this champion actually do? What do like these synergies do and things like that? And playing with someone else, even if it's not in double up mode, just I learned by playing with my friends, like five of us would queue up for a TFT and two of us would be like, hey, what item do I put on this person? I'm dumb, help me.
Yeah. The last bit of advice I have is actually when a new set comes out, or if you haven't played in the current set, Riot gives you a bunch of missions for doing TFT things, and a lot of them relate to, hey, play this trait, put a bunch of units on the board with this trait and see what it does. And that's actually a really good way of learning what traits do what and which ones are actually worth going for.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how you get into TFT.
All right.
So I got nothing.
That helps, Z Paladin. I'm sorry I couldn't be a help, but these guys are the experts.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Since this is an audio medium, Free Shooter just did air quotes for my comment on experts.
Listen, until 2 days ago, I was bronze in TFT. I just hit silver.
I might still be bronze in TFT because I don't play ranked. I play double up and hyper roll, which hyper roll is also another good one to get used to the game because it takes out the... It removes the concept of leveling and just puts everybody on the same level. So it takes
that
a part
true.
Of the game out of it. It makes it a little simpler
and
to get into.
Much faster.
Yes.
All right. Continue. So our next set of questions comes from Bruno, who writes, hey Wards, Bruno here, newish listener and first time writer. I'm a 57% win rate bronze top laner, but I've dipped my toes in other lanes. I have a few questions, and they don't relate to each other, but I think it's worth a thought. Sorry it's a bit of a long one, but thanks ahead of time and keep up the great work. Question 1. I've been getting more serious in ranked this season, one-tricking set top. I have a 62% win rate with 100-plus games on him, but his kit gets kind of repetitive and monotone. I've been wanting a secondary that I can focus on instead of playing random top laners when I can't get set. I prefer to play aggressive and win lane, then split push to win, but I like to have an impact in teamfights if necessary. Any suggestions?
I have one, but it is also repetitive and monotone, because my suggestion is Garen.
Garen's okay. I feel like Garen kind of struggles like with like team fight. If you're looking for someone to abuse lane, and is like, there's definitely nuances, but like you could definitely cheese lower elo and stuff like that. Darius is like giga broken.
Darius was the one I was thinking of. He doesn't have huge team fight utility, but he's not awful at team fights. The other ones I could think of are like Fiora or Mordekaiser. Probably Mordekaiser would be the one I would really recommend. I mean,
Mordekaiser is literally just AP Darius. It's more true than it feels like it should be. Like, they are different, but they are the same.
Darius does push faster, I will say that, like, for towers and stuff, but yeah. For sure. If you're looking for that, like, late game, like, split push, I would suggest, like, Darius. That's my suggestion.
I'm going to offer a different take, which is Shen. Here's my reason why. Shen frees you up to take Ignite and still be able to join your team. Shen is designed to split push. He's very strong in a 1v1 because your pull through lets you do percent max health damage on the next several autos, and you get a shield, and you get to deny auto attacks. And then his ult is just a game changer if used well in fights. Shen is like the epitome of, I want to split push, but also team fight. So that's my answer, is just make sure you build a Titanic Hydra after your tank mythic so that you actually have significant wave clear.
One other option is also Sion.
Do decent at split pushing
and team fighting, but it's
because until Riot does something about Hullbreaker and Prowler's Claw, I'm not advocating for Sion because that shit is cancer and shouldn't exist.
I mean, I'm not even saying the Prowler's Claw part of it, even just with like
just Hullbreaker. You know,
just Hullbreaker and like a tank mythic, you can properly play a split push but then join team fight style.
Yeah. A different take also I would say is that as playing set gets repetitive and monotone, as you said, you do have a decent win rate on it, right? So if it's up, honestly, if you're trying to climb past, like, get to bronze to silver, sticking with set, as boring as it might be, if you're winning with it, I would definitely stick with it. And then if it's banned or gone or they counterpick, then you'd pick into the other champs that we maybe suggested.
Exactly. And I think that's the intent of the question here. It sounds like when set gets banned or picked away, he's just playing random shit, and he's looking for something to focus on in that circumstance.
Yeah.
All right. Question 2. I love how you guys always end with Lucian top, but I actually played against a Caitlyn top 2 games in a row, and as set, I just couldn't get in range to do anything. All my engages, she would E and W to get away or trade flash if needed. Plus her poke had me lose a lot of CS. I ended up playing super safe under tower and got a kill or two with some jungle assist, but could Kate top actually be viable? And I think you actually, in your question, Bruno, hit on the key there. Caitlyn is much, much more vulnerable to jungle ganks than Lucian is.
Huge, yeah.
Her dash is not very far and slow, whereas Lucian's dash is extremely quick and late game is spammable.
I cannot tell you how many times I have netted with Caitlyn and it doesn't move me because it's just a little bit too late.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. She nets at the exact same frame you pull her and you just yank her out of net is a frequent occurrence from the Caitlyn perspective.
Yeah.
If she makes even a minor fuck up. Whereas Lucian, his dash is fast enough to come out before the pull actually hits.
Yep.
And innately, like, top laners, like, just AD carry role in general, jungle presence on them is so huge. You just ping your jungler, like, a lot. Like, it will help your, like, AD carry top lane, if they do not get the lead that they're looking for, they are not going to be relevant in the game usually.
Yeah. That being said, yes, basically all AD carries that are functional at all early will bully the shit out of a melee top laner who can't just gap close on them at will.
I played against a Draven top lane the other day. I think it was at Normals. Was that, you were in that game?
It was yesterday, yeah, because I was the top laner getting bullied.
Yeah.
I was gangplank. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
And I was playing, was I playing Kane? I think I was playing Kane.
You were Kane, yeah. That was
the one where I took Graves' blue and he took it personal.
Yeah, you took it blue. Yeah, that Graves had 28 kills.
Yeah, it was not fun.
But yeah, no, it was just I let Draven shove me in and then Crush camped him and we just kept killing him. Unfortunately, I was gangplank. He kept dying in trades because I'm bad at gangplank. But I mean, yeah, it is. It's exactly what you said. If he doesn't really have great ways to get out if he's more than halfway through the lane.
Yeah. But that's Draven. Draven should not be a top laner at all. I don't know why he was up there. No. It was a normal game is why he was up there. When it comes to Caitlyn, when it comes to ranged top laners in general, there's a reason you only see Lucian, Vayne, and Quinn. All three of those have very
good
disengages.
And then, like, Jace and Kennen and Gnar, who are actually designed to be up there.
Yeah.
And Akshan occasionally.
They basically always have very good disengages. Like, Akshan has the rope to get out. Jace can knock people away very easily, and so can Vayne. Vayne also has her tumble to go with it. The missing part, because you might be hearing this and say, well, Tristana has a jump, Tristana has a push away, Caitlyn has a net, Caitlyn has traps to stop people from coming at her. The missing part is that Vayne and Quinn are very, and Lucian, are very good at 1v1s. Like, they can actually kill you 1v1. Not so much early, that's why the AD carries, but later on they can absolutely do it. Caitlyn.
Also, I absolutely have played Tristana top. It's okay.
It works.
Tristana top can work. The only problem is that you're going to be super susceptible to ganks because you're going to be perma pushing.
Yes,
every
absolutely.
Time.
It's,
yep.
It's a problem in AD carry, and it's even worse up in top lane.
It works if they have a Karthus jungle or some similar jungle that just does not want to be ganking early.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question three kind of ties into like the theme of this episode because we've been talking about it a lot. With the new Swain rework, do you think he'll be a viable top laner? If so, what would be the most optimal build? He has pretty diverse build options. So we already kind of covered the intention of this rework is to let him be in solo lanes again. I don't think they're intending to remove him from support, but to allow him back into solos.
Yeah. We talked about his build as well, the Leandres into... what's the second item? Rylai's?
I think it's going to be either Leandres or Everfrost into Rylai's. Everfrost is cheaper than Leandres and has health, both of which are valuable to him. Even though he can't pull off the root on Everfrost anymore, he can still chain it after he pulls people on his E to chain CC.
Enough.
So it's really good, but you lose out on a lot of AoE damage because you're not burning everyone in a team fight with your ult.
He doesn't have slows on anything except for the W, right?
Yes, the W is the only slow in his kit. Rylai's would add it to the ult and to the Q.
Okay, there is one other slow. The Demon Flare, the second cast of his ultimate, does also slow, but it's a decaying slow.
Yes.
For 1.5 seconds, it's not. I would say Rylai's would be very good for him in order to make sure that he stays in drain tank range. So.
Rylai's also is cheap and is a health AP item, and he is a drain tank. He actually needs health.
Yep. So yeah, I like that build order.
And that's also kind of...
not be super surprised if that's what it comes out to being. Mythic, Rylai's, or something else.
Do you guys think that'll be played more top lane or mid lane?
I think he'll be played more top lane because it's harder to abuse him.
I would guess mid lane because he can roam and affect the map better.
I'm kind of with Jax on this one. I think top lane because I think that he will struggle against people that like can counter him like really hard, and at least with like melees and stuff like that, he can get away for free.
That's my thought process. Is the gap close and assassination and burst of most mid lane champions is going to be harder for him to deal with than the bruisers and tanks that are typical in top lane. Like Swain into Sion is going to be a free lane for Swain. Swain into Set is going to be fairly free for Swain.
The only thing I'd push back on that is that you basically wouldn't be able to use... So, this is true for the Assassins too, but you wouldn't be able to use part of his Swain's kit in top lane. You probably don't want to be pulling Darius closer to you. Just as a thought. You don't want to be pulling Fizz or Zed closer either, to be clear. But like in mid lane, you can at least find a Cinder every so often.
Which, that's actually part of why I think he's still going to be most played as a support. Yes. Just getting those E-pulls off is still going to be so valuable. And that's also, like, we touched on it briefly, but you actually get a lot more max health when you get those pulls off for, per soul fragment, because it went from, like, 5 to 12 now.
Yeah, they doubled it. So,
yeah.
He used to double the value of the max health during his ultimate. Okay. That's gone. He just gets the double value always now. So, yeah, that's where I land on Swain builds, is I think he's going to build AP Bruiser.
I'm guessing mid laner. We'll see if I'm wrong. We'll see.
I think he's only going to be viable in solo lanes as a counter pick, regardless.
That's very likely. Yeah, I would not want to pick him into like Fizz or pick him blind. Sounds like a bad time.
Yeah, I think he's very much going to be, oh, you picked Sion. I guess I'll play Swain top, because that's someone I could see him being really good against.
Yeah. Now, see, Sion puts himself in place a lot. We're all wrong. It's going to be, this is actually tying back into the first question. This is now going to be the new viable AP jungler that everyone plays.
Simple clear. Yeah, I can see it.
No. just no. Of course, we are missing the forest for the trees here. Why would you want to take Swain top when you can just take Lucian top and win the game?
True.
Agreed.
And with that, this has been episode 339 of the Four Wards podcast. Welcome to the show, Witch. This is what your life is now.
I love it.
For Crush, for Free Shooter, for Witch, have a great night.
Bye.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to the Four Wards podcast, part of the Trinity Force Network. If you'd like to leave questions or feedback for the crew, send us an email at fourwards@trinityforcepodcast.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @fourwardspodcast with the number 4. Finally, you can also find us at fourwards.trinityforcepodcast.com. If you'd like to check out all the other great podcasts that are part of the network, head on over to trinityforcenetwork.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time with more ways to help you move forward in League.